Righty. Good morning. And man, is that light bright. Anyways. All right. So we're going to be continuing in the evangelism series that we've been doing. And last week, we heard a great message and a great example of how we ought to be testifying and how our testimonies can be used for the Lord. And this week, it's going to kind of tie into it, but we're going to see where it's going to go. So if you have your Bibles with you, we can turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 11. But before we get into that, can I actually get the slide about the Israel trip put back up, if you don't mind, Peter? Because when I saw the email yesterday morning that Harry and Coralie were planning this trip, I just thought I would put a plug in for it, because back in 2011, I had the privilege to go to Israel as well. And if you have the opportunity to go, I highly recommend it. It just, to walk on the streets where the Lord walks, and even to see, go to the cities that are mentioned in our Bible and in all the gospel stories, it's quite a remarkable experience. And it doesn't just end there. It continues on when you do your reading, your devotion, your study. It's almost as if the Bible, like though we have words in black and red and white, it's almost as if it comes to life in 3D as you're reading it. And I know I was blessed by the trip that I went on, and I encourage, if you have the opportunity to go, to go, because it'll be an awesome, maybe even life-changing experience, but it's a huge blessing. And so let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. But yeah, so 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 11. And I'm reading from the King James, so it may have some older words in there, but compared to some of the newer translations, but it's all good nonetheless. So starting in verse 11 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And let's just look to the Lord in prayer as we go further into this. Dear Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for this morning. We thank you for the safety and bringing us all out here, Lord. And as we know, sometimes the weather can play havoc on the road and with our cars. And we're just thankful that you brought each and every one out this morning, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for the time that we had singing those songs, worshiping you. And we're thankful for the opportunity that we're going to have in a few minutes and later on this morning to remember you as we have the bread and the wine here in front of us, Lord. We're thankful for it, Lord, and we're thankful for your Son. And so, Father, I just pray, Lord, that as we look into your word, into your scriptures, into the Bible, we just pray, Lord, that as you have challenged me in getting ready for this, Lord, that there would be a challenge for each and every one of us that are in this room, those that are on Zoom, and those who'll listen to the message at a later date through the website, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll challenge, you'll encourage, you'll bring to remembrance something that would stir them up, Lord. So, Father, we just ask that you would speak through me, that everything that JJ would say would be forgotten, but what you say would remain, Lord. So, Father, we ask for your help in this, and Lord, most of all, we're thankful for your Son, and it's in his most precious name that we pray. Now, I know the meeting started a bit later. When am I to wrap up? I got a half hour from when I got up. All right. Ooh, that's dangerous. I can't see the clock from here. But anyways, I'll be quick. So 1 Peter 2:11 and 12. So again, going back to how Fred talked about testifying and as our testimonies. It's a very powerful tool and a very powerful way that we can be used by the Lord. And we see here in the verse 11 there that we are described as being strangers and pilgrims. So in other words, it could be an alien or a foreigner, but really we're our home as a believer in Christ. Our home is in heaven, and we're here in this world. We're passing through being his ambassador, and we see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it reads, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So we're here as ambassadors. We're foreigners. We're pilgrims in this land, although we would call Canada our home. Our heavenly home is where our citizenship lies with as a follower and a believer in the Lord. So we're in this world, but we're not of it, and we're here representing the Lord to win souls for him, and which the end of the verse 11 says we're in a war, which wars against the soul. We'd see that the world's trying to pull people away from the Lord. The devil is trying to pull us away, and he's just trying to cause divisions amongst humanity. And so we're at war, and we're here as soldiers, as ambassadors for the Lord. So we ought to be living for him. So this is where we come to verse 12 in this passage. So how are we to live? And this is leading into the title and the title of this message, but we're going to get to that pretty soon. So how are we to live? It says there in verse 12, having our conversations, or a better word could be conduct or our behaviors, having our conduct or behavior honest among the Gentiles. And though oftentimes when we see the word Gentiles, we think of the nations and a race of people, but it's often used to represent the unsaved, to represent the world, to represent the lost. So we're to behaving and have our conduct in a respectable, trustworthy, in a good way, that we can be a witness to them. And that second hymn we sang about the goodness of God, it's a great song, and we're to be having that flow out of our lives. And so I love how Warren Wiersbe writes about this in verse 12, about having our conduct trustworthy, honest, honorable, our behavior excellent. He writes, "Most of all, we are witnesses to the lost around us." The word Gentiles here has nothing to do with race. It's just a synonym for unsaved people, for the lost. The unsaved people are watching us, he writes, and I can attest to that in my own life. And when we're at school, when we're in the workplace, like, our lives are being put out there. If we're putting them out there, people are watching us. And I have friends that people have been drawn closer to the Lord because their friends, when they saw the change in their lives, they saw that it lasted. They saw that it became true in their lives, and they would challenge them. It was like they thought it was only going to last for a while. It was only going to last for a short time, but it didn't. It was evident in their lives, and it was a life-changing experience that they had, and it in turn led these other people to follow after Christ because it showed them, it pointed them to Christ. And so if we're going to be a witness to the lost around us, to our friends, our coworkers, our classmates, we must be living honest lives. This word implies much more than telling the truth and doing what is right. It carries with it the idea of beauty, comeliness, that which is admirable and honorable. And I love Warren's words on this as well. And he continues on saying, to use a cliche of the 60s, now, I wasn't alive in the 60s, but he says, to use a cliche from that time, we must be beautiful people. And it's used in the best sense of that word, being beautiful people, being goodly people, that Not only do we witness with our lips, but we witness with our lives. And another way to say it is to, and we see it in the sports field as well, and even in the classroom, that the common saying, to back up our talk with our walk. And so many times on the sports field, we would hear that because so many people I know, they'd be talking about how good they are, but yet the way they played the sport didn't follow up with that. And maybe myself in baseball, but we need to be backing up our talk with our walk. And so Warren continues, there should be nothing in our conduct that we give the unsaved ammunition to attack Christ and the gospel. And so our good works, again, must back up our good words. And the Lord said this in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And we would see that truth echoed throughout the entirety of Scripture. And so as we're to be living goodly, as we're to be living honorably and honest and trustworthy, we're to be allowing that to flow in our lives and to flow out as we serve Him. And so to continue on with this and to be like, well, JJ, you haven't said a title to your message yet. And so we're at that point now. And so, and connecting with living honorably, goodly, excellent, having our lives excellent for Him and to be used in that regard, there's something that can hinder us in our walk with Him and in the work of evangelism and in the gospel work. And we can't allow this to build up in our lives. And so if you were taking notes, you can go back to the top of your page because this is the title. So the title is Hypocrisy Kills Evangelism. Or you could put Hypocrisy Hinders Evangelism. Hypocrisy can have no place in the gospel. And so we might be thinking, well, hypocrisy, man, this is a deep topic because we're all living for Him. And so hypocrisy can have no place in our lives. And I know in my own life, when back in high school, not many people here, actually probably no one knew me when I was in high school down in Southern Ontario, but there was a time that I was claiming to be a Christian, that if someone were to ask me what I put my faith in, what I was believing in, I would say, my faith is in Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Him. But if you saw the way I interacted with my classmates in school and on the basketball court, it didn't line up. And so I was being a hypocrite. I was pretending to be something that I wasn't. I was claiming one thing and living completely different. And I remember being challenged by my rowing coach towards the end of grade 11, early grade 12. But my rowing coach challenged me with this saying. She pulled me aside and was like, JJ, you call yourself a Christian, but yet you don't act like one. And she didn't have to say any more. Those words hit like a spear or a, I don't know if anybody, like those big stones that those strong men people lift, but it was like one of those just coming down on me. And it hit hard. And I was being two-faced. I'd claim this and I would live completely different. And I realized through that and through summers at being up at camp that I was challenged with that and challenged with the verse in Joshua 24 about choose you who this day who you will serve, whether you will serve man or serve God. And it's a great challenge, and it's still challenging in my own life as we are involved with the work and in school and as we're being out there with people, because everybody's watching us. And when I was challenged with those words, it was like, I didn't understand. I didn't realize my life was being watched. And not only are people watching us, but the Lord is watching us. And so it's very dangerous. So hypocrisy can have no part in our lives. And how else can it look? We see it throughout scriptures that even though the word doesn't appear in this passage in Acts chapter 5, but one of the roots of the sins of Ananias and Sapphira was hypocrisy. They claimed to be giving all they had to the Lord's work, all to the church, but they kept some back for themselves. When they said they gave it all, but they really didn't, they were being hypocrites. And we know, we don't have to turn there, but the Lord would strike them down. And Paul, he would accuse Peter of hypocrisy. We see that in Galatians 2. He accused him when he was refusing to eat with the Gentile Christians. As we know, Peter being a Jew, and then he even before this accusation, he would have the dream, the vision of the blanket being lowered down with all the different foods and animals on that, and being told, it's all been made clean now. You can eat. You can eat those which were not clean earlier. And so he was living in a way, he would eat with the Gentiles, but then when some of the Jewish believers would come, he would pull himself away. And it was like, Paul was like, Peter, what are you doing? And so we see that there. And all through the Gospels, we would see the Lord Jesus calling out the Pharisees, calling out the Sadducees, because they were trying to live perfectly, but they were failing, they were falling. And they were claiming one thing, but yet not doing the other thing. And the Lord would countless times call them out. And Paul would warn Timothy about hypocritical false teachers that would arise in the future, to be wary of them, to be careful with them, to really take what they teach and to compare it to the scripture to see if it's true. Paul would warn them about that. And then lastly, Peter, he included hypocrisy in things that we are to throw away, that we are to leave. And we see that in the first verse of this chapter, if we haven't left 1 Peter 2. Peter writes, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, he says to lay them aside, and as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. We're to be throwing it away. We're to be laying it aside because it can have no part. Because if we're living a hypocritical life, it can be right up there with being lukewarm, being a lukewarm believer. And we would see in Revelation 3 how the Lord views that. He doesn't like that. He would spew them out of his mouth. He wishes that they were either hot or cold, but he spews them out because they were lukewarm. And so it can hurt our own testimonies, hypocrisy, but it also hurts the Lord, because we're his ambassadors. We're his representatives here in this world. And so that can lead to not having prayer in our lives, not being men and women of faith. It can lead us to not spending time with the Lord. And all these hurt us. They hurt our walk with the Lord. They hurt our fellowship with him. And it destroys, and it can hinder and kill evangelism. It can kill the work of the gospel. And so what is something that we can do to not have this in our lives? And this is something that really hit me after my rowing coach really challenged me as I got to get into the word through Galilee Bible Camp, which is another plug for camp, because camp was huge in bringing me back to the Lord and getting me into the word. And that's where I met Tom and Sylvia and got connected with them and got involved with their kids who are here. We're a part of each other's lives, and it's all through camp and the work that the Lord was doing through there and through His Spirit. But one thing that we can do to not have hypocrisy fester and grow in our lives is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we would see, you can turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, and we'll just read one verse in 14. So Romans 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So how can we not let hypocrisy grow in our lives and take root? It's to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And by putting Him on, it's like meaning clothing ourselves in His righteousness, clothing ourselves with everything that Christ is. And Warren Wiersbe, again, he's one of my favorite authors, if you haven't maybe caught that from this morning. But Warren Wiersbe, he puts it perfectly, and I love how he writes it. So he writes, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ means to become more like Him, to receive by faith all that He is for our daily living. We grow on the basis of food we eat. This is why God warns us not to make provisions for the flesh. If we feed the flesh, we will fail. But if we feed the inner man, the nourishing things of the Spirit, we will succeed. And I've heard it many times, and I know our brother who has passed, Berwick, would explain it this way. If there's like two dogs in our lives. We have our old man, our flesh, and the Spirit-filled life. If we're feeding the dog that's of the flesh, that dog is going to destroy the other dog. It's going to win in a battle. But if we're feeding the Spirit-filled dog, it'll be victorious, and we'll be able to succeed here as Warren writes it. So in other words, it's to adopt the lifestyle of Christ. Live as He lived and accept Him as our guide and example. And I'm reminded of the early believers in Antioch, because the first time the word Christian is used in our English Bible is in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And it's used in a way that is describing this group of people. And it's used to describe them because they were so living like Christ that the word Christian made sense. That because they were living like Christ, they would call themselves Christians. That these people saw them, they saw that they were Christ-like. And so I'm just reminded of that. And as we're putting on the Lord, as we're clothing ourselves in Him, that's what people are going to see. People are going to see Christ in us. We're going to be able to lead others to Him. And I'm reminded again of an opportunity I had with Cross Canada Cruisers. We were in downtown Toronto on Yonge and Dundas, and there was a few of us that had shared our testimonies, and another brother, he had been sharing the gospel. And there was a man who had just come to Canada about 1 to 2 months before this from Syria. And before he left Syria, a Christian brother from there told him, if you keep seeking God, you will find Him, because God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. And so he had remembered that. And here we are, the group of us, we're at the corner of Yonge and Dundas, downtown Toronto, and he's been hearing the gospel this night through the paintboard messages that we were using and the testimonies that we were sharing. And he saw something that led him to talk to one of the guys, Gary Weeks, and he's like, there's something different with these people. There's something different that I can see in them, even though I've only been seeing them for 2 hours this night. There's something different, and I want that. And so through Gary and through multiple different Bible studies after that, this man came to know the Lord. And it's just an example of how if we're living for the Lord, if we're putting on Christ in our lives and living out for Him and being a witness for Him, our lives, not only are people watching us, but it can then turn them and bring them to the cross. It can bring them to Christ. It can show them the truth. And so we're to be preachers, we're to be living it out, and to be living for the Lord and following after him. And so this brings us back to, in closing, brings us back to 1 Peter chapter 2, our kind of the main text for this morning. But so, having put on Christ, being clothed with him, being putting on everything that he is, in this verse 12, having our conversations honest, being respectful, being honest, being trustworthy, being Christ-like among the Gentiles, so among the lost, that whereas they may speak against you as evildoers, because they're going to think we're weird. I've had classmates think I'm weird, and even people I've worked with think I'm weird. They think it's wrong. They think the way to live is to go after the world. But they continue to watch you, that they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. That there's coming a day that the world is going to stand before God in judgment. There's coming a day when they'll have to give an account for their lives. But if they turn before and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be able to, like ourselves, be clothed with Christ. That their conversion may have been attested to witnessing a friend of theirs follow after the Lord, follow him in such a way that they were different. There was something different about them, but that they lived an honest and good and trustworthy life. And so, in closing again, are we going forth as soul winners? Are we living in a way where we're having our conduct honest, behaving excellent, being honorable? Or are we allowing hypocrisy in our lives to fester up? And I know for me, it's been a challenge. And I'm always reminded of the challenge my Roman coach gave me. And I kind of have it plastered on my laptop at times, and plastered in the front of my Bible is that challenge of, JJ, if you claim to be a Christian, act like one, live like one. And so it's been great getting into this. It's been a challenge for me, and I pray that it's been a challenge for each and every one of us as well, and an encouragement to be putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, to put on everything he is, to adopt his lifestyle, because in turn, if we do that, we will live respectfully. We will have our conduct honorable, and we will be able to go forth as soul winners and being an ambassador for Christ here in this world, here in Perth, Carleton Place, Smiths Falls, Ottawa, Canada. We can be a light for him, and others can see that light that we're shining for Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time that you've given to us, Lord. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that your challenge is remaining with us, Lord, to follow you, to be clothed in everything that you represent, everything that you are, to be clothed in your righteousness, Lord, because in doing so, we will be able to claim to follow you and to live for you, and we won't allow hypocrisy to kill our testimony, to kill evangelism, to hinder the work that you are doing, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that we'll be able to be co-laborers with you in this regard, Lord. So, Father, we give you thanks for this. We continue to ask for your blessing. And, Father, as we enter the time of remembrance, Lord, we want you to be lifted up. We want you to be glorified. So we give you thanks for your Son. It is in his most precious name that we pray. Amen.